Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Do you grimace at the thought of public speaking, job interviews, meetings, going on dates, dancing in public? Well, you are not alone. Around half of us consider ourselves shy, including my next guest. She was a shy and retiring twin for most of her life, but she's learned the hard way that you've got to grab the bull by the horns and to speak up at times. She's encouraging us to look at shyness as a blessing, and she's got loads of tips on how to overcome your fears. Good morning, Nadia.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on to chat, Nadia. I have to say, I'm pretty amazed by the number of actors, writers, even musicians who quote in your book consider themselves shy. I mean, just to give people an idea, could give us a few of them, because I think our listeners would actually be really surprised.
Okay, so people like Nicole Kidman are shy, Camila Cabello, Jim Carrey, Keanu Reeves, loads of people. I think for the most part, they kind of mask their shyness and use performing as a way to kind of give themselves the courage to go out of their shell, so they're pretending to be somebody that they're not when they're on the stage. So that's how they work around it, you see.
It's fascinating. I mean, I particularly like the Keira Knightley quote. It's, I don't mean to look like a bitch, but I get completely paralysed with shyness, because that's the problem, isn't it? If you're painfully shy, it can come off as a bit rude or standoffish at times.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think sometimes people think, oh, a shy person is not interested, or they're not engaged, or they've got nothing to say, or they're being rude. And that starts, you know, from school age. If teachers see quieter kids who are perhaps not joining in or not speaking up, from their point of view, it might come across that child has nothing to contribute, or they're not paying attention, when in fact the idea of speaking up, say in front of 30 people, is really difficult. So I think it starts young and then continues through to adulthood, you know, in meetings and in our social life, where, you know, being the life and soul of the party, or bossing it in a meeting is really difficult for some people.
I mean, as a kid, I was terrified to go up to somebody and ask a question, or to answer a telephone, or I don't know why, it's just the way that I was. And now, as an adult, I don't have problems with those things, but I'd have a terrible tendency towards social anxiety. I mean, like, I wouldn't be great in situations with big groups of people who I don't know very well, or a party, or going out socially. But is that the same thing? Is social anxiety the same as shyness, or are they very different?
Yeah, what you've described is really common. So the fact that it shifts, so you might find, you know, at a certain point in your life, some things are difficult, but then others are okay, and then it changes with different phases of your life. So social anxiety, people kind of disagree on this, but my view is that it's an extreme form of shyness. You know, shyness is a social anxiety. It's anxiety in social situations. It's fear of judgment, feeling uncomfortable around new and uncertain people or things. And so it's just the very extreme end of the scale. But what seems to have happened is that the term social anxiety has been kind of latched onto, and people who feel shy, you know, they might refer to it as social anxiety, or they might see people online talking about social anxiety. So it's become a bit mixed up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because I think that's probably a problem then, because people are they're finding it difficult to understand why they feel the way that they feel. They don't know how to put a label on it.
Yeah, precisely. And I think for me personally, I didn't really know why I felt the way I did. As a child, back in the day, we weren't really aware of mental health or kind of our, you know, we didn't talk about our feelings in the way that we do now. So I just kind of lived with it and didn't really talk about it. Plus then as an adult, as a shy person, talking about our experience is not easy for us, so it creates a situation where you're living with feelings and emotions and maybe struggling with certain things, but you don't tell anybody. And I think we also have a fear of labelling things, where we think, oh, if I decide I'm shy, does that limit me? Does that mean that I'm gonna be shy forever? You know, will it make me feel worse? And I actually don't think so. I think for shy people, the first step is just understanding what's going on. And so in my books, I talk about the first half of the book is really understanding shyness and why we feel that way and how it works, just because it's something most people have never really thought about or discussed. And then the second part of the books are about mighty, so becoming more mighty, so how you can work with your shyness. And I just really feel strongly that shyness is something we should talk about, because it affects so many people, and yet it's something that stays silent, and it's like a shameful secret that we hold on to. And it's so easy to spend your life feeling slightly broken, like there's something wrong with you, and never tell anybody.
And I think it's interesting, Nadia, as well, that people who've never had to deal with shyness or any kind of social anxiety don't understand it. Like, I would find people would often say things to me, like if I say, oh, I don't want to go to such an event or whatever, I'll just get over it. But, you know, yeah. or they think, oh, but you're well able to talk. It's not a problem. And you're kind of like, it's not the people, it's very hard for people who've never experienced it to understand, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And if you think about, I mentioned schools earlier, most teachers are probably not shy because they need to be able to stand up in front of a class or a school and you know, be fairly authoritative in that kind of situation. So the misunderstanding begins early. And it starts with those kind of comments like, he or she just needs to speak up, stop being so shy. And that's not really helpful, because parents don't necessarily know how to help their kids either. And then it continues, you know, you mentioned that friends and colleagues and managers, and I think people don't understand that for us, something small can seem like a really big deal. So I still am not particularly comfortable with making phone calls, but you know, to someone else they might think, well, I'm on the phone all day, what's the big deal, just get a grip.
And it's just not that simple, is it?
No, it's not. And I think, you know, so society has kind of been created for outgoing people, and I think, not to wishing to get too philosophical here, but it's like society was created by outgoing people for outgoing people. So quieter people start to feel like we're broken or we don't fit in at school, job interviews, you know, job interviews in front of a group of people, or politics, for example. We're not good. I feel very disinclined to get involved in politics.
I think a lot of people feel like that anyway,
yeah.
Nadia.
Yeah. But
you've mentioned a couple of times there, Nadia, school. What were you like at school? Did you find that that's where things began to show themselves? And did you speak about it much? How were you as a child?
Primary school, I was mainly okay because I was with my brother, because I'm a twin. And then secondary school was more difficult for me. When I hit adolescence, often we become more self-conscious at that age, so that can trigger shyness. And for me, I had a kind of traumatic experience in a French language laboratory where I hadn't ever heard my voice before, and I didn't know how I sounded, and I had to record myself speaking French, and I hit play and listened back and couldn't believe that that was me. And from that moment, because I'm aware that I sound very young, I just became incredibly embarrassed and self-conscious about the way I sound and decided to hide basically for many years and avoided doing all kinds of stuff like speaking in front of others, phoning people, being recorded, leaving voicemail messages, etc. And that kind of carried on for me for many years.
But Nadia, you do so much public speaking now. How did what to what How did you overcome it?
Is that I'm a nervous wreck. I was sitting here waiting to come on here thinking, oh my goodness, do you think they'll notice if I don't do it?
I hope you're not feeling nervous and too nervous now. I mean, because you sound absolutely beautiful to me. I think your voice is stunning. But I want to know what kind of, for other people who might be thinking, that sounds really like me. I hate, speaking in front of people and making phone calls and leaving voicemails. What tools can people use to help overcome that and to, I suppose, embrace who they are and not see it as a problem?
Yeah, I really believe that that's important. So the first thing I think is recognizing that we have a kind of power. There's mightiness inside us, and you don't need to be shouting and screaming all the time to be heard. And actually, when you listen and you take your time and the things you say are considered, people do pay attention to what you have to say. I also like the idea that when you're not always talking, you can think. When we're talking, it's hard to be thinking and perhaps having ideas at the same time because it's output, you're making a noise. So if you're being quieter in those moments, you can be doing other things like coming up with cool inventions or writing new ideas down. So there's a strength in quietness. I think recognizing that we need a mixture of voices. Shyness is, I think, part of the diversity and inclusion conversation. We need different people in society. We can't all be the same. And when you realize that, I think that gives you strength. I think the other thing to bear in mind is that it takes practice. I couldn't do this talking to you now, a few years ago. I've built up to being able to do this, and I'm sure I get nervous and sweaty and I kind of want to run away, but I've practiced, and it's just about taking little tiny steps forward and working on it. If you wanted to be really buff and have big muscles, and you would go to the gym. You wouldn't just go once, and you wouldn't just go to the gym and try and lift the heaviest thing you could find. You would build up to it gradually, and you'd keep training. So it's that kind of approach.
So you have to kind of, even though it's difficult, push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit now and again.
And I think I like comfort zones. I In the books I write about the importance of being snuggly and comfy, and I think it's good to have somewhere you come back to rest and recover, and then you can push yourself again a little bit. So say you wanted to speak up more in meetings or become a singer, you would need to make a little plan and figure out what it is you want to achieve, and then break it down into tiny steps. So maybe start by singing in front of the cat, and then the cat and the dog, and then the cat and the dog, and perhaps a neighbor, and then building up to it gradually, more and more people, and practicing, not just expecting it to magically happen. It's about taking control of the things you want to achieve and then taking steps towards that.
And I suppose, in a selfish way, I'm curious about something in particular. I'm recently a first-time parent, and just because we've talked about it quite a bit now, and I'm getting the impression that this all kind of begins very young in life, I would hate for my little guy to feel the kind of way I did when I was a kid in terms of shyness and being afraid to talk to people outside of the family or make a phone call or talk to a stranger. How can I instill in him to not feel like that? How can I help him make sure that I raise him to not feel those things?
I think it's really difficult because sometimes these things are within us. You know, you can argue that we can be born that way, but it's about practice and not shoving him into situations that he feels uncomfortable with, and kind of going, go on, you get on with it, and in a too much too soon. But if he knows that you're there with him and that you're, you know, holding his hand or standing just behind him and reassuring him that it's okay to maybe talk to the shopkeeper or to speak to the auntie that he hasn't met before, I think it's just showing that it's okay and then talking about it. So it's okay to feel shy. Lots of us feel shy. It's a perfectly normal kind of feeling to have, but it's not, you know, it's not permanent, and we'll work on it. Let's do it together, that kind of thing.
So not to be going, don't be so shy, come on, speak up. That's not the right thing to do. I think one of my favourite lines in your book is you talk about shyness being an advantage, and you said that shy people are the silent potential in every room. I think that that's just... I think that's gorgeous. The book is called Shy and Mighty. It's such an interesting read. It's got tips on job interviews, meetings. I mean, you don't have to be shy to buy this book. There's great advice in there for everyone. Nadia, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. I loved talking to you. It's an eye-opening topic and something I hope that people will speak about more.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope people enjoy my books.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.